AM 980 KKMS brings you Jan Markell's Understanding the Times. 2 hours that look at all the issues of the day, from apologetics to politics, prophecy to the culture wars. Keeping you on the cutting edge, here's Jan Markell.
Welcome again to the program, everyone. It is brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, where we are committed to helping you understand the times, contend for the faith, become watchmen on the wall, where we present the truth, more truth, and even the inconvenient truth. And we're going to continue on with our discussion because I feel that this information is a vital concern, though I am aware that it is not talked about in our churches today. I am aware that for some of you, this is very confusing conversation. I would ask you to please try to hang in there with us and understand that the whole world is coming against a little nation that plays the most prominent role in the Bible and in current events today, and that is the nation of Israel. And we have most denominations today who are saying, well, not really, because they have been disinherited due to their unbelief, and the church has now replaced Israel, and then what results is the theology known as replacement theology. The church has replaced Israel. Now, what I started out with an hour ago was a short commentary on a current article on Christianity Today Online. And in that particular article, they talk about how we should love Israel. But they go on to outline a plan, what it means to love Israel, and they outline a plan for her total destruction. Now, I say that this kind of thinking, theology, philosophy, whatever you want to call it, geopolitical type of politics, is inexcusable coming from the church, because Christianity is saying we've got to establish a Palestinian state ASAP. We've got to treat the Palestinians in a proper way so that they can have a better economic life. And my guest in studio, Chris Heeb, and myself would not disagree. However, Israel is not the one standing in the way. The Palestinian leadership pockets the aid money, sends it to Swiss banks, and the Palestinian people get about enough aid money, perhaps they can buy a quart of milk, if they are lucky. So that is the issue that set off this discussion today. And then Joseph Farah from WorldNet Daily actually wrote a major editorial on this yesterday, and he headlines it, Christianity Today? Or Politics Today? And he says, what it means is slicing up Israel geographically and turning over most of the historically Jewish lands to Israel's most bitter enemies, people sworn to eradicate the tiny Jewish presence in the Middle East. My guest and I, Chris Heeb, are asking, how delusional, how does the church get so deluded and deceived, even though that is certainly an end-time promise that the Bible says will happen, to have a major organ such as Christianity Today, but believe me, there are whole denominations that believe this way. So it's not just a little publication. How do they get so influenced, so deceived, that they think, and then, of course, Chris, the United Nations says the key to world peace is a Palestinian state. We've got delusion running amok here.
Well, you know, Jan, I think this is really similar to, you know, 70, 80 years ago when the Nazi Party came to power. They promised their people, we'll give you jobs, which they did. We'll give you peace and prosperity, that kind of thing. And, you know, as Christians, we want to believe the best of people. We want to believe the best of governments. We want to take them at face value. Well, we found out that that rarely can take place in the world. I think we're at a very similar place, just as Nazism essentially wanted to create their thousand-year reign The Muslims want to create their version of that, the thousand-year reign of Islam. The problem is the vast majority of the pawns, the small people like us, were in the Arab world, are just in the trenches. They just want to have a job. They just want to pay their bills. And so I don't fault them for, you know, they have no choice but to follow their leaders. And the problem with the Israeli leaders is they haven't learned the lessons of World War I, World War II, that those governments, the funny thing is that those governments are set for the total destruction of Israel. I can't imagine being an atheist or an agnostic if I was an Israeli leader, knowing that, or not knowing that the only answer is God, the only answer is the Messiah. I think the church, the ones that the Christianity today primarily represents, wants to believe the best of people, believe the best of governments, and they're going to take them at their word. The problem is, which word is it? And since you might as well really take the word of God. The word of God says that the entire world is eventually going to turn on Israel and Jerusalem, and only the coming of the Messiah for the Jews, Christians, and Muslims is going to resolve this.
Absolutely. You know, Chris, Christianity today, again, they claim to love the Jews. Do the magazine editors, again, you know, I'm going back to, do they even love the Arab people in the region? I mean, if so, why would they relegate them to a life of tyranny and oppression under the leadership of Mahmoud Abbas or Hamas? Do either one of those options truly represent self-determination for Arabs? Now, the other point is the world, this magazine, most denominations, the United Nations, the EU, I could go on and on. They want Israel to give up the vast amount of territory. All right, they've already given up Gaza. What do we have in Gaza? It's terror central in the Middle East. It's the headquarters of Al-Qaeda. It's headquarters Hamas. It's the headquarters of a whole bunch of really bad guys. Why would terrorists behave any differently than they have in Gaza if they were to get this Palestinian state that CT and others are insisting that has to come about? And then there would be peace if Israel did this. No. Whenever Israel does this, there's war. She leaves Lebanon, there's war. She leaves Gaza, there's war. If she's going to leave the West Bank, known as Judea and Samaria, there will be war. This is 2 + 2 = 4. But to the people who are commenting, like we are commenting on, 2 + 2 = 5.
You know, Jan, in the Muslim world, their religion determines their politics. In our world, in the West, it's a combination of religion and I'll call it social causes that basically determines our politics. And because we have a democracy, we actually will take a person at face value until we have overwhelming evidence that it's not the truth. The collision that is happening now between the cultural secular West, the cultural Christian world, and the Muslim world, Islam is much better at playing cards than the West is, than Christians are. They have no rules. The Quran is full of, we have the right and privilege to lie to non-Muslims about everything and anything. Dijon Mustard, the president of Iran, has made it so clear the entire purpose of his life in government is to bring about a Muslim caliphate, a world religion, and the destruction of Israel. And he feels he can't accomplish that as long as Israel exists. And the West is in denial about that.
Well, the West is in denial about that, but the West is also ignorant about Islamic eschatology. And they don't understand, of course, this isn't all branches of Islam that believes in the coming Mahdi, but there's a huge segment of Islam that does believe in the coming Mahdi, and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is one of them who believes it very strongly. As a matter of fact, Ahmadinejad believes that it's his duty to usher in the Mahdi, the Muslim Messiah, and so that is what makes him so dangerous, and that is why the clip I played of Lindsay a few minutes ago saying, you know, somebody's got to do something in the very near future, because the world is at stake over this one goofy madman, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
You know, Jan, if people look at the Bible as essentially his story, history, his story, written in advance, called prophecy, God tells a story, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, of a conflict in a garden between his creation and Satan, which the majority of Christians, I don't know what they believe for sure, but they don't take him too seriously, between God and Satan, Satan and man, and now further on down we get into Abraham, and we get this family feud of the descendants of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac. It's this great family feud. It's not going away. Because, well, you know, it's interesting, in Europe's backyard, I've read that there's 20 million Muslims. If the Muslims get inspired, they will have caused such a total meltdown in Europe that I don't think that they could recover from. I was reading statistics that the number one names in the Western world in Europe are almost all Muslim names, because they're having 5, 6, 8 children per family, where Europe is aborting themselves into history. So Islam is well on its way to, with its master plan to take over this planet. And, you know, they were at the gates of Vienna a couple hundred years ago, and what we got out of it was coffee, Jan. They had the Viennese coffee from the Arabs. That's just a little side note.
That's
there.
A little side. You don't charge extra
don't,
for that.
No, I don't. But you're right, because the secular secular side of our government that doesn't believe in the they call it the malarkey of religion. They resent George Bush so much because he's a serious Christian. They hate him for it. They want to overthrow our government and make it a totally secular environment also. And it goes against total history of this country.
Back on July 29th, there was a letter sent to President Bush by a bunch of pseudo-evangelical theocrats. And boy, I got to stumble over the word evangelical here, but, you know, I don't know, that word is kind of being misused these days. And these people who signed this particular petition, let me read just one paragraph from the petition. I'll take that back, two paragraphs. And they say, "We write as evangelical Christian leaders in the United States to thank you for your efforts to reinvigorate the Israeli-Palestinian negotiations to achieve a lasting peace in the region. We affirm your clear call for a two-state solution. We urge that your administration not grow weary in the time it has left in office to utilize the vast influence of America to demonstrate creative, consistent, and determined U.S. leadership to create a new future for Israelis and Palestinians. We pray to that end, Mr. President." I'm going to read just a few names who signed that petition. "I do not understand why anybody cannot figure out the number of attempts to form this so-called two-state solution, all the agreements from Oslo to the Y Accord, the Mitchell Plan, the Tenet Plan. There have been probably between a dozen and 15 plans to create this state, which have all blown up. And they've blown up because partly because the Palestinian leadership has no interest in this. They just want Palestine from the top of Israel to the bottom of Israel." I'm getting myself worked up here. You know what, Chris? I think I'll take a break and go practice some Christian yoga so I can get my blood pressure down. Sorry. No, folks, I don't do Christian yoga. Now, yeah, just a few signers of this petition. And they say, "Historical honesty compels us to recognize that both Israelis and Palestinians have legitimate rights stretching back for millennia to the lands of Israel and Palestine." Well, I want to comment a little bit later on this supposedly this land of Palestine, because that is fictitious as well. However, some who signed, Ron Sider, President Evangelicals for Social Action, Gary Benedict, President of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, George Brishaber, President Bethel University, Gary Berg, Professor Wheaton College Graduate School, Tony Campolo, Leighton Ford, let's see, Dan Groth, Pastoral Staff, New Life Church, Colorado Springs, Vernon Grounds, Chancellor, Denver Seminary, Stephen Hainer, former President, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Joel Hunter, Executive Committee of the National Association of Evangelicals, Richard Mao, President, Fuller Theological Seminary, David Neff, Editor, Christianity Today, well, no wonder, Glenn Palmberg, President of the Evangelical Covenant Church, Rich Stearns, the President of World Vision. Well, I could go on and on. There are many other signatures that are basically saying these pseudo-evangelical theocrats are basically a calling for the placation of Islamic demands, and the way to get there is for this Palestinian state, which, again, the United Nations says is the key to all world peace. Palestinian state. Can you imagine a key to all world peace?
You know, Janet, if I was a secular humanist, I would totally agree. The problem is, in the scriptures, of course, the land that we call Palestine now. I always tell people when I speak, I believe everything from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, but I don't agree with the maps. The maps are a leftover of the Roman Empire, where they had renamed Israel Palestine. But in the Bible, if the Bible matters or it's relevant, it's always Canaan, Judea, Samaria, the Holy Land, the Promised Land, Israel. It's never anything but those names. And, you know, Jan, if I was looking for a quick fix, I would sign on with those. The problem is Neville Chamberlain was looking for a quick fix 70 years ago, and we got World War II. I don't think the world is going to change. I mean, I don't like conflict. I don't like people dying, but the Bible is one big conflict, and the ultimate conflict is going to be over the throne of the universe, which will be in this place called Jerusalem and what the Muslims call the Dome of the Rock, the Temple Mount. It's Jesus' throne. It's as simple as that.
All right. If you're having trouble with what we're saying today, we invite you to call in and say so. If you're agreeing with what we're saying today and you may be equally outraged at some of the comments that have been made, and we have focused heavily on the Christianity Today article because that is the, that's the church organ read by, you know, millions and millions of people, including pastors and other Christian leaders, who are calling on Israel to commit national suicide. You want to weigh in? I haven't done a phone show for some time, but we'll open the phones at 651-289-4499, 651-289-4499. And there's a toll-free number for those listening out of the area, and that's 888-332-5169. Look, are Chris and I making much ado about nothing? I really am curious as to how many people, even listening today, give one whit about what we're talking about. And the problem is, if you don't, you've already turned your radio off. But if, in fact, you don't give one whit about what we're talking about today, because it's just too far away, it doesn't affect you directly, you can say so. But what we're trying to do is making a case here for the fact that we have a nation that is the center of the Bible. It is called Israel. There is a huge segment within Christendom that says, no, this isn't true anymore. This is just not true. The church has taken over that role. The church has taken over the role of Israel's prominence in the Bible, present day and future. And Chris Hebe in studio with me, represents Good News for Israel, GNFI@GNFI.org, are trying to make a case that this is, in fact, a very serious issue. This is a disappointing issue. This is an issue that needs to be being talked about in our churches from the proper perspective, and instead it's being talked about in our churches from a distorted perspective, outside of a few faithful who will hang in there. Has your church addressed this issue lately? Have you asked them to address this issue lately, and what have they said to you? I get emails all the time. I get them daily with people who want their church to address an issue such as that, and the pastor looks at them like they've just stepped off a flying saucer. Why? Look, my background happens to be Baptist. When I was in my youth, when I came to church, we were having conferences that were presenting material like this almost on a once-a-year basis. Today, you won't find it. Well, you will find it at my conference, October 19th, 20th at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, but we're covering a multitude of topics there, including a lot of deception and discernment issues. Again, that's October 19th, 20th. But if you want to answer any of those questions I have just thrown out, it's 651-289-4499. The toll-free is 888-332-5169. And let's see here. We'll take some calls in just a minute. And let's see, Chris, I think that the issue here that has been raised is the issue, and that is, which you just referenced a minute ago, and that is the nation of, quote, Palestine.
Yes.
Now, Palestine, I mean, there's never been an international cry to create a Palestinian state before 1967, and we need to get this clear. There's no such people or nation that's ever before been known as Palestinian.
Right. There's no language. There's no currency. There's never been anything on the books like that. You know, it's interesting, Jan, we have to go back into the last part of the nineteenth century here, that when England was in charge of the Middle East and they were the ones that divided up that area, they made a place called Transjordan.
Exactly.
Transjordan and Palestine per se. Winston Churchill ended up giving 80% of that region to Transjordan or the Arabs, because he said, I want to give that sliver of land on the other side of the Jordan to the Jews so they can be left alone. It's their homeland, and they can be left alone. It didn't work out that way. They had best intentions. They've never been satisfied. The Arabs cannot be satisfied. Theologically,
right.
they cannot live in unity with their half-brother, the Jewish people.
Right. But I think the bottom line is here, and that is there's never been such an entity, such a people as the Palestinian people. Those that were living in Israel that supposedly were displaced, they were Jordanians, Syrians, Egyptians, etc. And only when Yasser Arafat came along in the mid-1960s did he create the Palestinian people. Let's see. Go to line two here, and that is Bonnie. Go ahead. You're on there with Chris Hebe and Jan Markell.
Yes. Hi. I just want to weigh in totally in support of what you're speaking about. I just recently stopped teaching English to adult immigrants. I taught for 7 years, and the last couple of years, from about 2005 to 2007, we had more influx of Muslims, and it was just interesting to see the tide turn in the school, and how we had to give them their rights. They know their rights, and they're using our laws to perpetrate their agenda. And it was just really interesting. I tried to remain as open-minded as possible, but there was no doubt seeing that what they were demanding and just a certain air of pomposity that they carried with them. And it filtered out into the other immigrants that are from other countries like Russia. And
all right. Well, we appreciate you weighing in, Bonnie. Thank you for calling.
Just that I'm in total support and that I do see that there is, it is an issue that we need to be extremely concerned about.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We have a line open at 651-289-4499 or out of the area, 888-332-5169. What Chris Hebe, who's in studio with me, Director of Good News for Israel, what we're trying to do is we're trying to present a case, of course, for God's land, and we're trying to do it amidst a church today that simply doesn't want to go there. But worse than that, a church today, not every one of them, of course, but the majority, who are twisting the facts on the issue that we're discussing today. And we started out by telling you what Christianity Today says, how to love Israel. Well, but they say loving Israel is creating a Palestinian state, which even the Arab world doesn't want a Palestinian state. They just want Palestine from the top of Israel to the bottom of Israel. They don't want a Palestinian state. So why should Christians, be it Christianity Today or a pastor or a denomination, I read some denominations that signed this petition, so why are they should know the Bible, why are they pushing for this Palestinian state that even the Arab world doesn't want? This makes no sense whatsoever. Let me make a real quick announcement here, as I did last hour, because this ministry is looking for anyone who may have radio board operating or technical skills and would like to be a part of the Understanding the Times radio outreach, and we headquarter in the Twin Cities. Would you give my office a call if you can help? It's for pay, it's for volunteer, whatever you'd like. It's Saturday mornings only, 763-493-3010. 763-493-3010, if you can help with that issue that we're raising here, radio board operating skills or technical skills. Saturday morning would take up most of your Saturday morning. And again, Understanding the Times 07 is around the corner. Grace Church, Eden Prairie, October 19th and 20th. Joel Rosenberg, Dr. David Reagan, Dr. Ron Carlson, Jason Carlson on the Emergent Church, Carol Matriciana on all sorts of deception issues, no charge, no cost, no registration, free will offering. Just show up. And lots of room, perhaps not the crowding problems we have had in recent years. Now, I think what we're going to do, and those of you on hold, would you please be patient? And we'll get to you in just a minute or two, but I think we need to take our bottom of the hour break. And let me just say that the best way to get a hold of Chris Heap, Good News for Israel, is gnfi.org. And the best way to get a hold of me is through my website, olivetreeviews.org. And again, if you'd like to visit that website, you will find 2.5 years of radio programming archived at olivetreeviews.org. Now, when we get back, we're going to hear from Marjorie, we'll hear from Vance, we'll hear from John, and we'll hear from some others. If you'd like to weigh in on the issue, I've given you the phone numbers. I'll give it one more time when we come back. We'll continue with our discussion. And remember, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. This is a listener-supported program. Please keep us in mind, both prayerfully and financially, and don't even think about turning your dial off.
If Jan Markell's radio outreach has helped you understand the times, would you consider a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries? Write Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Or call 763-493-3010. Again, that's 763-493-3010. You can also place orders and donations on the website, olivetreeviews.org. And thanks for listening to Understanding the Times.
Welcome back to Jan Markell's Understanding the Times. Here's Jan Markell.
All right, welcome to part two of this hour. I have in studio with me Chris Heap, Director of Good News for Israel. Contact him at GNFI at GNFI.org. Contact me through my website, also olivetreeviews.org. If you are, well, I'm not going to go into that. We have too many callers, and I want to get some of them in. So let me go to Marjorie in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Go ahead, Marjorie. Now you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I actually have two comments. First of all, I shared with a friend once how her church is replacement theology. I explained what it was, and she was absolutely shocked. She went to talk to the pastor and then came back to me and said, my pastor says we're not replacement theology, and you're wrong. So I wanted to warn that that is going on, that pastors don't even seem to understand what it is they're teaching. And secondly, at a church we were at that was replacement theology, I went to meet with a pastor and I said, how can you possibly read the Bible to understand it that way? And I said, like, look at Romans 9 through 11, and the pastor couldn't explain anything to me. And then he later mailed me an article from a book explaining how Romans 9 through 11 are to be ignored, but you can read the rest of the book of Romans.
Oh, we ignore Romans 9, 10, and 11?
Yeah.
Did he use that word, ignore?
Well, he mailed me a chapter of a book by N.T. Wright, and I think Chris Hebe is probably familiar with
him, yes.
But Wright pretty much says that, well, you know, Paul probably wasn't under the authority of this, you know, wasn't inspired by the Spirit when he wrote those three chapters. I'm going to let Chris address it because he can do it better than I can.
Marjorie, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right.
I actually appreciate N.T. Wright on many levels, but you're right. He believes that Paul was mistaken or spaced out when he wrote Romans 9, 10, 11. Well, you might as well rip up the rest of Romans then.
I think Chris Hebe, eschatology plays a huge role in what we're talking about, and that is proper eschatology, and there's so much wacko eschatology out there today because we're in a time of great falling away and a time of false teaching and deception.
You know, Jana, the book of Revelation in the Old Testament is essentially Zechariah. If they read the last six chapters, 9 through 14, they're going to see the Lord's first coming, 9 through 11, and then they're going to see the Lord's second coming. And it's all dealing with Israel and the nations. They can't be confused. It's not as mystical as Revelation is. So I highly recommend Zechariah 9 through 14 to get a clue.
Well, we probably should define, because we started out our 15 minutes ago or so, talking about perhaps only those who believe in dispensational theology would be agreeing with us today. We have covenant theology, which says the church is Israel. We have all sorts of other, preterist theology, which is also, I believe, covenant theology, which says all prophecy happened in 70 AD and it had to do with the tribulation was the persecution of the saints and Nero was the Antichrist. And this is a horrific false teaching, folks. I just can't encourage you enough. Don't buy into it. You're going to hear people pushing it. Don't buy into it. It is one of the most, it makes no sense, for one thing. It just, you can't make this preterist issue make sense. You've got to turn your Bible upside down, inside out, and create hermeneutical suicide to believe in preterism at all prophecies history. But Chris, you and I would believe that there is, and this program is not intended to be on eschatology, but we'll throw this in and we won't charge you any more for it. There is a literal coming Antichrist. There's a literal coming Battle of Armageddon. There's a literal coming millennium. There's a literal role for Israel today in this whole scheme of things. As a matter of fact, she's the center of it. And those who believe this way are teaching and promoting and believing in dispensational theology, which one of the forerunners of this, the most prominent in modern times, would be Tim LaHaye, also John Walvoord. But I just wanted to outline that for anybody who's hearing these long words as it concerns theology, and you may be new to this program and just totally don't understand what we're talking about.
You know, Jan, in Acts 1:6, the Lord was resurrected. He was on his way into heaven, going back. And the disciples say, Lord, are you now going to restore and set up this physical kingdom to Israel? He basically put a pause button on them, said, I'm not going to do this now. But when he leaves in the end of the Gospels, the angels say the Lord is going to physically come back just like he left. And, of course, he didn't fill in the blank, but for a physical, literal kingdom. That's all the Jews expected in the Old Testament. So I can't believe the church does not get that now, but because they've decided to reinterpret all the scripture, that's
exactly
what we have.
Right. You still want to weigh in? There's time. If you think we've made something much ado about nothing here, or we're overreacting, or we're spending almost 2 hours on a topic that isn't all that relevant, or if you're equally as troubled as Chris Hebe and I are, and by the way, to my Twin Cities audience, you can hear Chris Hebe on this station, home station, AM 980 KKMS, Monday through Friday at, is it 10:30 a.m., Chris?
Yes, it 10:30 is.
10:30 a.m. If you think that, if you're in agreement with us, we invite you to call. If you want to disagree, we invite you to call. I'm not going to give the phone numbers. Chris, you had something there that you wanted to talk about. You got handed that in North Minneapolis yesterday?
Yeah, Jan, I was driving through on the way home, and the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan's organization, was out in the street trying to round up potential proselytes or people that they could convert to the Nation of Islam's view. And, of course, they are having a significant inroad into the African-American community. And I have talked to African-Americans who have converted, and they said, look it, Christianity didn't give us enough. This is our way of getting back at the West, America, all the things that happened, the bad theology about slavery. Look at them. The Muslims were the ones that enslaved Africans and sold them to the Westerners. The Westerners were wrong in buying them, but there's an example of Islamic rewriting history, and the West doesn't care.
Oh, in that piece of that magazine that you have, all right, it's called The Final Call. This is Louis Farrakhan publication, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, all right. How much in there is Israel bashing?
You know, there's a little bit of it. But the bottom line is they're making a case for America's done. The West is done. Israel is done. The caliphate, the superstate, is well on its way. And it's interesting. God did allow or cause the scenario to be set up that the Muslim nations would have the oil revenue, the trillions of dollars of oil revenue, to fund their enterprise. And look at what did God do with Israel? You know the joke, Jan. He allowed them to find the only place in the Middle East with no oil.
Well, I think it's going to be found. I think that for Ezekiel 38 and 39 to be fulfilled, which means that these various nations come down to seize the spoil, that the spoil, meaning wealth, is going to be oil. I really do. I think it's just a matter of time. They do have other wealth in Israel, of course, technological wealth, agriculture, the Dead Sea, etc., but I do believe that it's going to take oil. And we will go to line one, and on line one, Rich, go ahead. You're on the air with Chris Hebe and Jan Markell.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. The reason I did want to call is I'm in total agreement with what we're discussing today, but what's more important is I was born a Christian Catholic. And one of the issues I think that why people are in denial, especially from the Catholic side, is they just haven't read the Bible or don't understand it. And I went out of my way because I had Protestant friends who got me involved with studying the scripture. And I think there's obviously very much a correlation between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I think it's so important that we also read the Old Testament and then draw the strings together to the New Testament. Right now I'm in a Bible study. We've actually been reading Romans, and we are on chapters 9, 10, and 11.
Okay.
And it's emphatic. I mean, Paul says, they will come back God will enlighten them again. And so I'm total agreement. But I also want to say this, without a show like yours or Hal Lindsey, you guys helped to pull it together for me.
Well, thank you.
It's not enough just to read the scripture. You have to have outside sources, too. And you're one of those great outside sources. I thought I'd just share that with you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your call, Rich. There's another major story this week, Chris, that we need to touch on, and that is apparently Israel targeted some Syrian nuke sites within the last couple of weeks anyway. And according to a Bush administration official quoted by the New York Times, Israel has recently photographed possible nuclear sites in Syrian territory. The Israelis think North Korea is selling to Iran and Syria what little they have left. the source said. The reconnaissance may have prompted the mysterious foray into Syrian territory recently, in which munitions, Israeli munitions, were dropped, reportedly causing a great hole in the desert. According to the Times, American officials confirmed Tuesday that Israeli jets did indeed launch an airstrike inside Syria, which Israel and American officials had refused to comment on until now. Israel also reportedly struck at least one target in northeastern Syria, the officials said, but they could not provide details. The U.S. government and military sources said they were happy to have Israel convey to both Syria and Iran the message that they can get in and get out and strike when necessary. And all this is a little bit shades of what may happen someday. We don't know when, tomorrow or 2, 3 years, 5 years, we don't know. And that is Isaiah 17, which is the obliteration of Damascus. And but somebody wants to call me a warmonger. I can't help it. That's what's in the Bible. Isaiah 17:1 says that there's coming a day when Damascus is going to be annihilated. And here we have nuclear weapons building in Syria, thanks to the North Koreans and probably the Iranians. And who knows where this is going?
You know, Jan, the vast majority of the Arab Muslim world is Holocaust deniers, from Dijon Mustard in Iran to Mahmoud Abbas, or I know he's got multiple names. He got a PhD from Moscow U, with his paper being on Holocaust.
Denying the Holocaust.
So, you know what? I don't know how the West does business with Holocaust deniers. I mean, I wouldn't be able to sign an agreement with them and believe it was credible, because they didn't believe in major history, recent major history that they can't grasp. And Israel is the navel, Jan. It's the belly button of this planet.
So I said earlier, it's the epicenter. That's why Joel Rosenberg titles his book Epicenter. It's the center of the earth.
And Jan, I love when I hear the term, they talk about, you know, Israel is the apple of God's eye. Well, behind that Hebrew idiom is the term pupil. If Israel is the pupil of God's eye, that means everything he sees is through the prism of Israel. Of course, Jesus is the line of the tribe of Judah. He is the fulfillment of all scriptures. It is through the prism of Israel that he sees the world.
Proceed. Thank you for coming in today. Appreciated the assistance here in dealing with what we started out talking about, and that is the Christianity Today online article on how to love Israel, which is to quickly get the Palestinian state up and running so that Israel can be annihilated. And that is the jumping off point that we had. And from there, just the issues as it concerns the church misunderstanding and twisting this kind of theology. Now, I know many of you have issues with both Chris Hebe and myself. You know, you can address them through our website with Chris. It's GNFI@GNFI.org. You can contact me at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. And again, thanks, Chris, for coming on in this morning and giving up a couple of hours to be of assistance here. And again, you want to become a CD subscriber, $30 a month. You'll get 2 CDs a week of everything we do on Understanding the Times. More and more of you are doing so because you then are passing them on to friends and family who need to hear some truth. And also, please consider my print newsletter, Understanding the Times. It is out 6 times a year, and that is free. Just call 763-493-3010 and leave your name and address on the voicemail. We'll get one out to you in the coming week. Also has all of the information on our Understanding the Times 07 conference. Well, we've covered a lot of territory today. We've covered some troubling issues. Are you able to say with the psalmist, "I trust in you, O Lord. Our times are in your hands." We'll talk to you next time.
the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming.